Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for, again, all the things that were a part of your weekend, and especially those that were involved in helping things here. We're grateful. I also wanted to mention one other of our kind of a family news. To be praying for, many of you have met Elizabeth Panaccio, I think is how we say that, and her boys, her three boys, and they're usually down here in front of you guys. But her husband, they were on a trip to Maryland over Thanksgiving, and he had an emergency surgery and a medical issue with something with an esophagus rupture. It was something crazy I'd never heard of. And they've been in the hospital, and I just want us to be, I want us to pray for her husband, Will, and to keep him in your prayers in a special way as kind of we go through this week, and add that to our prayer list, if you would. A lot of great things this weekend, a lot of positives, exciting. I want to tell you about this. I know some of you have seen the news that at our local laundromat, a thief stole $1,000 in quarters. I want to tell you, it was not this guy. All right. He might have played hooky on Thursday to go count coins with me, but it was not him that stole the coins. So, but through all of your gifts and coins, and through a few paper monies, there were we said we needed $3,000 for this classroom, and you guys have given in just change in dollar bills $3,930, which is pretty incredible. And there's still a few things out. There were a couple of large gifts that kind of were associated that really are specific kind of tagged, so I didn't include those. But just phenomenal, phenomenal. And just thank you so much for your participation in that. Such a good thing. Yesterday was a phenomenal thing. I wish you could see better that little sweet baby and just how he's grabbing for those bubbles right here. On this stage, just what a blessing this was. Look at these guys parking, telling people how to park. And then Dale, you know, and Melanie, that was the best. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. I tried to get Jerry to bring Dominique the donkey. He sings a song, but we couldn't find a miniature donkey, okay? These guys, now that's not, his face isn't swollen, it's just bacon in his cheeks, okay? And when you've had 15 slices, you just look a little swollen. But I mean, just cuteness. And then this Santa Claus, look at this guy, you know? Fantastic, fun times, free advertisement. It ought to be good for at least a sandwich sometime. And my official smile of the week is Miss Keffy Morrow. And Miss Keffy is headed to rehab at Encompass in Franklin. And she sent me this picture. And I said, I think I have found a smile of the week. And so thank you for your prayers for Keffy. And we want to continue to keep her in our prayers, if you would. This is a season of celebration, right? And we celebrate and we have so much fun from Happy Thanksgiving. Think about all of the names that we tie into our holidays. We have Happy Thanksgiving. Hey, welcome back, COVID family. We have Merry Christmas. We have this wonderful, you know, merriest time. And we have joy, joy to the world. We have, there is the thrill of hope. And joy, and Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year, and happy, 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 right? It's the season. But I don't know if you're like me, and I know that as we approach this season, I want to sit down, because I want to talk to us this morning, because this is as much about me as it is about you, because we are all in similar seasons from time to time. And one of the things that I wanted to say today as we approach these holiday seasons is to realize that everybody's not happy. And everybody is not experiencing a Merry Christmas or a joyous holidays. And And what I want to say to us is that it's okay. And it's okay to not be okay sometimes. You know? It's okay there. And what I had thought about was that life is sort of like this, in which we have these sea moments. Okay, I'll call them sea, like the shores and the sands of the sea. I tried to bring the waves in. And you know how a wave kind of will rise up and there'll be this really high point and it's awesome and it's good, but then it kind of crashes down and there's this kind of low point. And life is sort of like the sea. And as I was thinking about this, I thought about how many moments through Scripture does God introduce us to sea scenes. I mean, think about this with me, the scenes that take place on the sea. There's a night with Jesus and his apostles. Jesus has gone down into the hull of the boat and he's resting. He's sleeping. And there's a storm that happens in the lives of his apostles above, and they are frantic over this moment. And they even get to such a point of fear and anxiety that they come down into the hull of the boat and they ask the Son of God one of the deepest questions of life. Don't you even care? Do you think they were riding a little bit of a wave? To come to Jesus that they had seen do all these great things and seen embrace people and do things of great love, and to hear him say, to hear them say, don't you even care that we're perishing? Have you ever been there? It's okay if you have, because even Jesus, the Son of God, is going to ask his Father, as it was on the screen earlier, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's okay to feel that way, because that's part of the ebb and the flow of life. I think about a sea scene. It's a different storm. It's a different situation. It's actually a guy this time. His name is Jonah. And Jonah has been asked by God to go and to preach to people that he really didn't think deserved to hear it. Let's just be frank. And he says, I'm not doing it. I'm going to run away from God. And so he does. And in that running away, there's this tremendous storm, and Jonah is running from God, and he's experiencing a sea moment because of his scenario is he's trying to get away. He doesn't want what God is wanting him to do, and he experiences a low in his life. And we're familiar with the Jonah narrative and how he will be thrown over and finally will come back, and he still fights God through the rest of what we know of his life, and not really feeling that they deserve, and he can't believe God gave him repentance and allowed that, but it was a sea moment. I think about the Apostle Paul when he's being taken to a Roman prison by boat, and there's a huge storm that comes upon the sea, and Paul is given this vision from God that says, none of us are going to perish as long as we stay on the boat. As long as we stay with the ship, we'll get to the other side. And to me, that's a great metaphor of life in the church. In the midst of whatever storm you're facing, in the midst of whatever hill it is that you're having to climb right now, in this season of life in your life, remember this. Stay on the ship. Stay in this place that God has promised us that if we will stay and be faithful to death, he'll give us the crown of life. He'll get us to the other side of whatever it is that we're going through. You probably could think of some other sea moments that come to your mind, but one of the things that I wanted to do with this word, as I think about the word season, and that kind of is what led me to this in my roundabout way, but I want you to think, this was a poem that I came across by a gal named Anna Cushingham, and it just talked about, I sit upon the sand and I watch the waves come crashing in, reminding me of your grace for me. It's grace upon grace. It's unending like the constant waves. You've made me clean eternally. Grace for grace and grace upon grace, wave after wave and grace upon grace. God, I give you thanks There was no reason you should love me when I was an enemy, but you decided you wanted me. And you knew what it would take. It was a sacrifice that you would make, your son for me. You call it grace for grace. And I think about that waves crashing on the sea, and I think about our lives, and the first thing that kind of came to my mind, and it's really an interesting thing, and I love Larry, and I talk about it all the time, how God does different things for us, does different things in different ways. Girls, would one of you hand me that little sheet of paper right there? Just one of you. It'll be good. Two, both of them, really. So I get an email every morning, and so I've told Larry we're preaching on this, and we're doing this thing. And the email is from a guy I had a chance to meet not too long ago named Sean Dietrich. Some of you are familiar with Sean of the South. Very creative writer, very gifted, brilliant guy. But he's sort of our modern day, sort of Louis Grizzard meets, Garrison Keillor, for those of different generations. But he writes this thing, he sends it out. And this is what today's said. You're going to be okay. That's not an opinion. It's not a guess. This isn't some trite little catchphrase from some motivational book that reads like it was written by a greasy televangelist. You're going to be okay. It's the plain truth. You're really going to make it through this junk that you're going through, so relax. You don't have to do anything to make everything okay. You don't have to close your eyes extra tight and grit your teeth and use magic words or clap for Tinkerbell. Deep in your soul, you know it's coming. You know everything will be all right eventually. Yes, things are bad, but you have a little infinitesimal voice speaking to you right now that is saying, this guy's got a point. It really will be okay. You're going to be okay. You'll see. The voice also says other things like, you're not fat, you're not stupid, you are a smart person, you are good enough, you're very fortunate, everyone really likes you, with the possible exception of your mother-in-law. Mother-in-law, I know you love me. And yes, you've been through some tight scrapes. Yes, your body does bear some scars of private wars that you've waged, but you survived each cataclysm. You've proven everyone wrong. You've always been okay. So I know you're sitting there scanning this paragraph wondering why you're still reading this drivel when I obviously know nothing about you. But you're also thinking about how you've had a hard few last weeks or last months or last few years or last decades. You're also thinking about how you pray for relief, but it never comes. And you're thinking about how you've tried to put one foot in the other, but now it's getting harder to move your legs. And that little voice is screaming out to you, don't quit. You're almost there. Someday. I know you can't envision this. Your problems will be all over, every last one of them. The issues currently messing up your life will fade, and the sun will shine. Birds will sing, and the sky be permanently blue. Your body will no longer hurt. Your heart will feel light. Your mind will feel peace, and your soul will be nourished. On that day, you'll reflect upon this time you're going through with bittersweet fondness, because this period will be what shaped you, and you'll be thinking of yourself, wow, everything did turn out okay. Listen, he says of himself, I'm a nobody, and by now you figured out I'm not a Pulitzer winner either. And I don't know how your life will play out. I don't know how it will end, but I know, too, that I've had some bad seasons. I've seen some terrible stuff, and I'm not all that different from you. I remember certain people used to tell me precisely what I'm telling you. Everything will be okay, they'd say. And I would take that as they don't know. What idiots. Sorry. How could they know anything would be okay? What gave them that right to tell me this? They didn't know me. They were just peddling cheap cliches from the New York Times best self-help book. But even so, these people were right. Everything did work out. And it always does, and it will for you too. Just remember, you're going to be okay. So that's in my email this morning. And our lesson today was, it's okay not to be okay. So what does that mean, Chuck? I want to tell you that we all go through different, back to this, we go through different situations in life. There are seasons, there are things that come up, there are surprises, there are struggles that you face, there are sadnesses, there are times in which you face sickness, or that you face some other sort of illness or addiction or thing that's there. And it does, as we sang, have you a heart that is weary, tending a load of care. Yes, it's heavy in those moments, in that season of life, when you face those situations. But know this, again, you're not alone. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, the Lord has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. In Matthew 28, verse 20, when Jesus is giving the Great Commission, he says, lo, I'm with you always to the very end of the earth. So know this, in whatever the situation you're facing, in whatever you're going through, you are not alone. And so, as you think about different situations, I don't know yours. You don't know mine. But the reality is, we're all in the same boat, and we need each other. And we need each other to be able to say in a space like this, where you're among people that love you and care about you, look, I'm not always okay. I'm not always fine. As you come in and say, hey, how you, brother? Brother Jerry. I'm fine. You fine? I'm fine. Fine, fine, fine. Thank you, fine. And we play the fine game at church, you know. I think we could call it Paul Feinbaum or something. Fine game, fine. Situations, but we're not always fine. And we need to be able to speak into a place and say, you know, I'm struggling right now. And I'm thankful there's some people that I can do that with. I'm thankful you've got folks, I hope, and if you don't, that you will, that you'll speak out and you'll just say, hey, look, I've had this on my heart and it's on my mind. I feel it. You don't know how much better it will be when you just let it out of the box. See, that's kind of the second thing. It's how do you engage with it? Whatever your situation is, what are you doing to engage that situation? Have you thought about that? See, sometimes we want to ignore it. And that doesn't work too good because it's still there. I think I've got something in my foot from about 3.5 weeks ago. Isn't that crazy? I thought we got it out, but it still hurts. I think it's probably still there. I'm just trying to ignore it, hoping it'll go away. Guess what? It's not swollen up, or, you know, it's not falling off yet, but it's still there. I know it is. But we try to ignore stuff, and we hope it'll get better. Sometimes we try to hide it. Maybe we start trying to work through it, or even just acknowledge it. And I think that's important, because I think even when the Lord talks about us and how we deal with sin in our lives, he says, you know, that there's a point in time in which, you know, we confess, 1 John chapter 1, that when we confess our faults one to another, then we find forgiveness. Then we find that peace. Then we're able to move on and kind of let it out. And so how do you engage with it? Are you working through it? Is there a heart of repentance? Now, I can't repent. Some things you don't repent of. Some things, you know, when you've wanted a child and you're not having that, that's not something that you've done wrong. That's just a part of life. When you've lost somebody that you love, that's not something that you did wrong. When you, some things are not things that you repent of, but some things you do have to walk through. Psalm 23, probably one of the most popular of David's Psalms. He says, the psalmist speaks of the Lord in this way, and he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And the thing that kind of, I think about that in that one word is the word through. I think about it. Even though I walk through. We are all walking through life, but sometimes we get knocked to our knees. Sometimes we have to sit down for a while. But whatever it is that you're going through, make sure you're going through it. Because when you're going through something, that means you're making progress with something. Don't just go to it and camp out. Don't go to whatever that thing is and just say, oh, I can't do anything with this. I'm just going to stay here. No. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, make sure that you're looking at this How are you engaging with this sea in your life, this season there? Are you reaching out? Or are you just reacting to stuff? You're letting the kind of the hurt kind of build out, pop out. Are you seeking rest? I think about Elijah after his big victory with on Mount Carmel and how the queen was trying to come after him and said, I will kill you and you are going to be dead. And how this moment you've gone from this super high to this super low and he's hiding in a cave. And the Lord's like, Elijah, what are you doing? Get up, eat, rest, and let's go. I'm still here with you. I've still got you. I love you. What are you doing? How are you engaging the season of life that you're in? And I think about that last thing, that what's your next step? What are you learning from what you've been through? What are you learning from what action is God leading you to redeem this pain that you're facing? What is it that's there that he's kind of leading us to? I think about moments even in Jesus' life when he was in this time where he goes to his friend's Lazarus' house. Mary and Martha are weeping. They've lost their brother, and Jesus is there. And even though he knows he's going to bring Lazarus out of the grave, he will be resurrected, he still weeps with his friends because it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to feel the pain that somebody else is feeling or that you are feeling. And so I want to challenge you that. I want you to think about that. I want you to ask God to help you in those things that you're facing. Psychologists, though, don't always agree with everything. This was pretty profound. Sigmund Freud said this of burying your emotions. I can tell myself that it's not bothering me, but I can't bury it. An unexpressed emotion will never die. They will just be buried alive, and they will come forth later in much uglier ways. And so I think about that. I think about how God uses seasons to lead us into better seasons. He uses moments to say, hey, here's your next move. Here's the way that you serve others through the pain that you've been through. It encourages me. I know of a sister in our audience that was just baptized not too long ago, but it was not by some event that we put on. It was really by some of you that said, hey, there are times in life when people go through grief and we need places and spaces to talk about it. And some of you put together a place and a space to talk about it. And people came and they listened and they talked and they hurt, but they also healed. And in that place, in that space, and from that pain, God took something that was difficult and he gave birth to a new sister in Christ. He healed hearts, but he also was working to heal souls. And in that, I think about the work that we will be involved in, that you will do from the pain that maybe you've experienced. I have a dear friend and a sister that once wrote, she's very involved in missions around the world, and she had been through a difficult pain in life. Her name's Beth. And Beth wrote this one time, that when your pain becomes part of your purpose, that's when grace has come full circle. And to me, that's beautiful. To me, that's a powerful truth of a truth that Paul would write to us in Romans chapter 8, in verse 28. It's one of my favorite passages that encourages me in difficult times, because it reminds me that God is at work even in our pain. Romans 8 and verse 28. Scripture says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. It doesn't say that everything that happens to us is going to be good. It doesn't say that everything you're going to go through in life is a good thing. It doesn't say that God made these things happen to your life. What it does say is that in everything that you are going through, whatever has happened, God's there with you. God is here with us. And the promise is this: it's his presence with us, But it's also that he will bring a purpose from it. He didn't make it happen, but he can bring purpose from that pain. And he says, and we know in all things God works together for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Solomon in his book of Ecclesiastes talks about there is a season for everything. There's a time for everything. And to me, Solomon's that there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to, you know, on and on and on. Are to me, those are those kind of sea, those crests, those waves, kind of the waves of life. And so what I want to say to you is, it's okay to not be okay. But it's not okay to stay that way. Now, I'm not saying you've got to get out of it today or tomorrow or next week. But what it is that it's important that we make, that we allow God to move us from the pain of it to a purpose from it. And that we allow it to become part of our story, not our entire story. And I also want to encourage you, I think we have some incredible folks that are here that are counselors. We have folks that are in mental health in our community that do some amazing things. If you need help, talk to somebody. Some of you have done that and you know it's a blessing. It can be a great blessing for you. And so when you look at that and you think about it, I want to encourage you to reach out to those that are skilled in those help, or just reach out and start a conversation with somebody that you know that you love that's here. But whatever you do, don't just hold on to it and sit in silence. Hard times are difficult, and we realize there are times where things are not okay. But I want to give you permission to know that you're not the only one. I want to give you permission to hurt and to say, even to cry out to God. If you go back and you read through the Psalms, man, they are full of words from those who were believers who cried out to God in pain and in anguish, and they were just, God, why are you doing this? God, why are you... Listen to a few of them. Psalm 25, verse 16 through 18. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble. Forgive all my sins. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you. My soul thirsts for you, O living God. When shall I come and appear before the Lord? My tears have been food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. On and on the psalmist writes, Psalm 143:7, answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. And then as Jesus quoted the words from Psalm 22, that messianic psalm, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry day by day, but you do not answer. I cry night by night, but I find no rest. Can you believe King David struggled with that? That these are the emotions of the chosen one of God, the king that would be the seed from which our Messiah Jesus would come from. But yet he struggled. And we do too. Be sure to speak out your pain into the places where that pain can heal. Be sure to speak out that pain in words of prayer, in the presence of God, and allow God to bring about that healing in your life. Reach out to one of us. Reach out to someone that's next to you. I love one of the great moments in God's, the people of God, their history, was when Moses passed away. And Joshua, his mentor, is now in charge. Can you imagine? Your hero, your leader has died. And You've been given the baton. It's time for you to run this leg of the race. And Joshua is received this call, and he says, the Lord speaks to Joshua and says, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I think we need that reminder. Wherever we go, whatever we're going through, the Lord our God is with us. And we need to move ahead. One of the other favorites of my life is rare, but it's something I like to share from time to time. It's in the book of Habakkuk. You're like, whoa, you never bring that one out. Habakkuk, right? And in the book of Habakkuk, we have Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. All right, good. Y'all should be ready for that one. Habakkuk, I had to find it. Okay, just like you guys. This little book in the Old Testament is a prophet that basically sees the evil in the world, the things that have been happening, and God not doing something in his eyes. And he's crying out to God, and he's making these incredible statements. God, how much longer do I have to cry out for your help? I cry out violence, but you do not save. The wicked hem in the righteous, and justice is perverted. He goes on and on. He says, Lord, how long? You're the Holy One. You'll never die. Lord, you've appointed them to execute judgment. You're my rock, and yet you're not doing this. Why do you tolerate the treacherous? And why are the silent wicked? And he's cried out, and he's cried out, and he's cried out. And then you come to this famous phrase in verse 20. Maybe you've sung it before. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. Amen. In the midst of all that is going on in our world, in the craziness of our world, God is on his throne. He is in his holy temple. And we can count on him to bring about good from whatever it is that we may be facing in these moments. And so I encourage you. I always want to bring us back to the cross of Jesus. To a time in which you think about a group of folks that were followers that were thinking, man, this is not okay. This is not good. And they stood at the cross, and I'm sure they were wondering, what were these last 3 years all about? What was all this? And you know there had to be some tears that were shed. But 3 days later, when they would see the resurrected Jesus Christ, God had to think to himself, I told you it was going to be okay, didn't I? I tried to tell you it was going to be okay. And are there still moments that they would go through? Absolutely. Are there moments in the future that you go through? Absolutely. But God has got this. And God is going to bless us and continue to help us as we move forward in our journey. I'm thankful for you and for you being here. We want to encourage, as always, if there's a time, if there's a prayer that you have, if you want to just grab the person next to you and say, look, would you pray with me right now? Do that. It's good. Our elders are on the back wall around this room. And if there's something, there's somebody close to you, slip over there and just say, look, could you pray for me about this? If there's something in a public way that you want to share, maybe it's just one of you guys talking. If it's time for you to become a Christian, you've waited, and you're waiting to, for some reason, for you to kneel at the cross and say, it's time for me to start this journey. Maybe today's the day that you're baptized into Christ. Whatever the case is, we're here for you. We love you, and we're thankful that you're here, and you are not alone, and God is here for you. If there's any way we can bless you today and be an encouragement to you, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?